Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride. Hi, welcome back to Sabbatical 101. Today, I want to talk about the steps you need to take before you start making your sabbatical plan. So things like navigating your eligibility for a sabbatical and understanding the timeline and university deadlines for applying for a sabbatical and taking your sabbatical. So I'm going to get into that in a minute. Before I do that, I'm recording this in mid-April, so it's set to air toward the end of April, and that means summer is coming up. And I just wanted to let you know about the Summer Reset Workbook, which is a tool I developed to help you plan your summer like a mini sabbatical. And the way we do that is by starting with your top priorities for the summer, not the mile-long to-do list of all the things you think you're going to get caught up on over the summer. Instead, you pare down to just a few priorities and then create a plan that aligns with those priorities. So if you think you might need something a little bit different this summer, if you're tired of just feeling guilty all summer that you're not doing what you should be doing, and then getting to August and feeling like you did less than you'd hoped, then I would really recommend you give this a try. It's only $20 and you can buy it on my website. So if you go to BethanyWalensky.com and navigate to the service pages page, you will see a tab for Summer Reset. You can go grab your copy right now, and I promise it's really going to help you create a realistic summer plan that also helps you come back for the new semester feeling energized and ready to go. I'll also put a link in the show notes so you can get to it easily. So now let's go back to those initial steps you need to take and the things you need to understand as you first begin to think about your sabbatical. And the inspiration for this episode was a conversation I was having with someone who said they were hoping to take a sabbatical in the 7 academic year, and then they missed the deadline to submit their sabbatical application. So now the earliest they could take sabbatical is the 27-28 academic year. I don't want this to happen to you. I would like you to take your sabbatical as soon as you are eligible for it, because typically universities start counting eligibility for your next sabbatical starting when you come back from your previous sabbatical. So if this makes sense, the earlier you take your first sabbatical, the sooner you can take your second sabbatical, okay? And, you know, you might have reasons for delaying your sabbatical. Of course, we all have individual circumstances, but I want to help you think ahead and do the research ahead of time so that as you come into sabbatical eligibility, you know what to expect and you have a clear sense of the requirements and the timelines so that you have agency and you can take control and decide when you want to take your sabbatical. So the first step is to find out when you are eligible to take a sabbatical, right? So some of you may be fortunate to have access to or have had a pre-tenure sabbatical. That's amazing. But for most of us, it's going to be a post-tenure sabbatical will be the first opportunity we have for sabbatical. So what I would recommend is even if your sabbatical is not coming up for 4 or 5 years, take a look at your university policy, look in your faculty handbook, and see when you are eligible for a sabbatical. Typically, there will be 2 requirements. So one is that you have served for a certain number of years at your university, and the other is often that you have been awarded promotion or tenure. So if you've switched institutions pre-tenure, you may not be able to take a sabbatical as soon as you earn tenure. You may have to wait a couple of years. But I would encourage you, I mean, honestly, just stop listening right now. go find your faculty handbook or send your department chair or whoever is in charge of these things in your world a quick email and ask them about sabbatical eligibility. Okay, so then the second thing is, it's one thing to know when you're eligible, but then it's another thing to understand your university's policy around when you can actually take that sabbatical. So let me just give you a concrete example. I am at Michigan State University, and for us, we can take a sabbatical after we have been at the university for 6 years, but you cannot only take a sabbatical 6 months after earning tenure. So we typically find out about tenure decisions in July when the Board of Trustees has to approve it. So then that means that if I find out in July that my tenure is officially approved, I can't go on sabbatical that same fall. I would have to wait until the spring semester at the earliest. Most people I know will get tenure in the spring or early summer and then apply for sabbatical that fall and then take their sabbatical the following fall. So if I earn tenure in summer 2026, I will apply for sabbatical in fall 2026. In the case of Michigan State University, typically then sabbatical is approved like March or April the following year. And then my sabbatical would start as early as fall 2027. So just know that you may have a 6 month to a year gap between when you get tenure and when you can actually leave campus for your sabbatical. The next thing you need to figure out is, how do you apply for a sabbatical at your institution? Like I just mentioned, at MSU, there is one annual sabbatical application process. Typically, you have to submit your materials to your department at some point in the fall, and that's kind of up to your department chair, and it's based on when the college you're in needs to get those materials, and then that obviously is based on when the university deadline is. For me, this was actually not straightforward. It wasn't like there was some place I could go look it up and say, oh, okay, I now understand that I need to submit my sabbatical application by October 1st. And then it's going to move to the, you know, then my department chair has to approve it, then my dean has to approve it, and then finally the provost has to. So this part might require some digging around. There are other institutions where this is all laid out very clearly on a website. So again, do your research and find out, you know, by first look at your faculty handbook, look at the university website to see what the deadlines are. And then I would also talk to your department chair. And then I would also talk to colleagues who have recently taken sabbaticals, with the caveat that sometimes these policies change from year to year. So you really want to make sure your department chair, your unit head, or if you report directly to a dean, that you're in conversation with them about those deadlines. Now, the other thing to be thinking about is understanding the politics of sabbaticals at your institution. In some places, the first sabbatical is a bit of a foregone conclusion. You know, you earn tenure. As long as you submit some sort of an application, your first sabbatical will often be approved. Other places have a competitive process for approving sabbatical applications, and they only award a couple sabbaticals per year across the whole institution. So it's important to understand the politics of earning a sabbatical at your institution. It would be a good idea to start understanding what successful sabbatical applications look like. And again, probably the best place to get this information is from colleagues who have recently had their sabbatical approved. And again, I would say maybe in the last 1 to 2 years, just because things can change, especially now. I think there's a lot of tightening on these policies because of public scrutiny and all the things happening in the world in the middle of 2026. The other thing you might want to understand is whether your university prioritizes a particular length of sabbatical, you know, a year versus a semester, and whether they prioritize being away versus staying home for sabbatical. you know, at MSU, actually, on the sabbatical application that you have to fill out, it explicitly states that the university prefers you to go away for sabbatical. Personally, I think this is rooted in the old system of academia and the patriarchy, right? And I know from working with so many clients now that most of us actually can't go away for the whole sabbatical, because we have spouses whose jobs are not portable or kids who need access to particular resources that they can only get in their local public school. But I would encourage you to ask around and be aware. It doesn't mean that you have to conform your sabbatical to meet those preferences, but it may mean that you have to do a little more explaining in your application about why you're taking a semester as opposed to a full year, or why you're staying at home versus living away for the sabbatical. Another question would be, do I need a letter of recommendation to go along with your sabbatical application? I don't know if this is the norm, but I have heard of it at some institutions, so it's worth asking, because that will also increase the amount of time you need to prepare the application. And then finally, of course, there's the application itself. Typically, this is a form where you have to state what you plan to accomplish during your sabbatical, and then also provide some justification. So you're basically going to need to describe how your sabbatical project or projects, right? Not everyone has one gigantic project they're working on. Many of us have a couple small things that we're trying to move along during a sabbatical. So you're going to talk about how what you plan to do during the sabbatical is going to benefit your own scholarship and then contribute to your department and the university. You'll probably also have to provide information about the length of sabbatical you're hoping to take, and how you'll fund your sabbatical. If you're taking a year-long sabbatical at reduced pay, how are you going to make up for that, you know, pay that you're foregoing while you're on sabbatical? Also, in the case where it's a competitive application process, sometimes there are also point values associated with each part of the application. So there might be a rubric that you should be aware of. And then as you write your application, you're going to want to make sure that you obviously address all of the elements that are in the rubric. Okay, so the next thing is to figure out when your sabbatical application will be due. I already talked about this a little bit, but just let me restate. There might be multiple deadlines. Most likely, you will first have to submit your application to your local unit, your department chair, or if you report directly to a dean, then maybe to your dean. And then it's going to move through multiple levels of evaluation. Just be aware of this, because that all takes time. For the slow wheels of bureaucracy to turn, you may be thinking, well, I don't want to go on sabbatical until fall 2028. But remember that your application might be due a year before you want to go away. Another thing that you should probably find out about is how you will be compensated during sabbatical, and also whether there are any limitations on outside work for pay during your sabbatical. Many institutions will give you your full salary if you take, you know, just a semester away. But then when you get to a long year, typically your pay will be reduced. At the same time, there may be limits on how much money you were able to earn, even if your salary is reduced during the sabbatical. I would just make sure you are looking at the policies, that you're talking to smart people who have come before you. The other big one related to funding then is thinking about fellowships. So if you are interested in getting a fellowship for your sabbatical, whether it's something like a Fulbright to help you go away or a different kind of fellowship, I would strongly recommend that you read up on this sooner rather than later, because just like the sabbatical application, the deadlines are often earlier than you would expect. So just to give you an example from the one that I know the best, Fulbrights are always due in September, and that application deadline is for a fellowship that would begin the following August, right? So The Fulbright deadline this year is, I don't know, like September 15th, 2026. The earliest those fellowships could start is sometime over the summer in 2027. So again, it's one application deadline. You have to plan it at least a year in advance of when you actually intend to use the fellowship. And then, of course, with a fellowship like Fulbright or any other fellowship, you're going to need time to plan your application. You'll need to reach out to potential host institutions. You're going to need letters of recommendation. So I would recommend starting to research fellowship opportunities at least 2 years before you anticipate starting your sabbatical, just to get a sense of what's out there and get a sense of those deadlines. Because again, I would hate for you to miss out on a sabbatical just because, you know, you didn't realize that the application was due for the fellowship a year in advance of the actual sabbatical. Those are my tips for the kind of pre-work that you should do and the things you should be thinking about. It could be as early as your first or second year into your faculty position, right? It's never too early to just be aware of these deadlines. And maybe start a document for yourself or a note somewhere that you can go back to so you don't have to keep looking up this information time and again, but get it in your head so that when you're in the crush of everything pre-tenure, you remember a couple years out, like, oh, I should start looking at fellowships, or you remember that you won't be able to go on sabbatical immediately after you get tenure, that there's going to be a little bit of a waiting period. I hope that was helpful. I also wrote a blog post about this topic. I will put a link to that in the show notes as well, in case you also want to see this written down or print out a checklist for yourself. But I hope that you are thinking about your sabbatical. I think it's one of the greatest privileges we have as academics. And like I said, I'm a huge proponent of taking advantage of that privilege. So good luck as you start to think about your sabbatical. And as always, please reach out to me if you want to chat more about your sabbatical or if there are any questions that I can help answer for you. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Sabbatical 101. If you found it helpful and want to hear more, please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'd also love it if you'd share my podcast with a friend or colleague who might be interested. If you'd like to connect to talk about my sabbatical coaching programs or to purchase an online asynchronous program, check out my website, www.bethanywilinski.com, or click the link in the show notes. You can also check out my blog, free resources, and subscribe to my monthly Sabbatical Insights newsletter. Until next time, here's to life-changing sabbaticals.